Let's look in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. I've been asked quite a few times, people's worried to death about when I was baptized. And the Lord's working with me right now. And sometimes when he gives me a message, it's quick and easy. And other times it takes a long time. But I think I'll have a message on baptism soon. But you all may not know this. We was baptized on the same day. Do you know that? Look in Matthew 3, verse 15. I was talking about us this morning. We went to John the Baptist and for John to baptize Christ. And he said, "You don't need to baptize me. I'm in need of you baptizing me." In verse 15, it said, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." It becometh us. We're one with Him. Isn't that precious? And so once we're one with Him, we see Him, we know Him. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 11. This will be our text for today. Once we see Him and know Him, he's talking in the back, when a witness in a courtroom, you tell what you know. You're telling the truth. You're a true witness. All you do is just talk about what you've seen. That's all you have. Matthew 11, we'll begin in verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prisons," he's already incarcerated, "in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him," as I spoke to Christ, "art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." Tell him what you witnessed. "The blind receive their sight." That's a miracle. "The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." In our culture, we take our language and we make it fit our situations instead of reflecting our situation through our language. We change words to suit us. And over time, that changes our language. And in my old job, which is a subculture of this nation, it's a pretty big environment, they use the word caveat in everything. And they'd say, "And a caveat to that." And they meant it as "in addition to." But that's not what the word means. It's a warning. It's to set certain conditions. The Latin meaning is to let a person beware. And that got on my nerves every time they said it, because I knew the meaning. And they were using it wrong. And they had a little bit of college in them, thought they were better than us. And they was trying to show off some, and they were showing off wrong, showing how simple they were. But in our society, miracle is used loosely and on a daily basis. And I've used it wrong. There's a lot of things that I would probably call a miracle. I've seen a lot of close calls physically at work and driving up and down the road, especially on the up New Jersey and New York. Make it at home sometimes is a miracle. I've seen a lot of sick people recover quickly, and I would probably call that a miracle. And at the end of the month, sometimes my checking account's not in the negative, and I consider that to be a miracle. But I consider a lot of things that aren't true miracles. But once the Lord shows us what His miracles are, then we'll see that term, how it really is. It's not used in ignorance. And if we hear somebody use it incorrectly, it kind of wears on us, doesn't it? So we just read this here in Matthew 11. I'm hopeful the Lord will teach us something out of this text. I think He's taught me something. And I pray that on His purpose and for Christ's glory, through the Holy Spirit, it's a blessing to you all as it has been to me. But there's a lot of things to be seen in this passage. Many of the commentators say that John, they have a few different things to say. John had sent these disciples to give himself comfort in his greatest trial, his final trial on this earth before he was killed. And they also the commentators have said that they have John sent these disciples for their comfort, so they could see Christ and Christ could teach them. And both of those are probably true and can be preached and have been preached thoroughly to glorify Christ. But I'm not gifted enough to go that deep and that broad to be able to explain those things. And I normally learn things backwards. So I'm going to start with the answer, and then I'll try to go from there. We'll start backwards. So I'm going to focus only on the answer that Christ gives. Now, these two disciples of John's, they wanted to know if Jesus was the Christ, if it was truly Him, if they needed or they need to go look for someone else. And in verse 4, Matthew 11:4, our Lord says, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see." Go be a witness to John. But what did they see and hear? So in this text, He lists six miracles that He has, He is, and He will continue to perform until this earth is done. So the first miracle, the blind received their sight. Now each of these miracles listed here, it shows a physical work in the flesh that the Savior performs, and there's a spiritual work in the heart that He performs. So first, the blind received their sight. Again, I'm sorry for last night. I had to turn a lot. We might turn quite a bit this morning too, but it'd be important to see it. Let's turn to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 35. Luke 18:35. "And it came to pass that as He was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, 'Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, 'What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?' And he said, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Receive thy sight, and thy faith hath saved thee.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." So physically, Christ healed this man of blindness. That'd be something to see. If we were physically healing blind people here, they'd be standing room only, and they'd be outside looking through the windows. But spiritually, Christ gives sight as well. Let's look over to 2 Corinthians verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, beginning verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So says the spirit of this world, the prince of this world, blinded the minds. The mind in the New Testament means the whole of me, all of it. This is, let this mind be in you. But by nature, we're blind to see ourselves as we truly are. We're blind to see Christ in His glory. But through Him giving us sight, we see who He is, and we're drawn to Him. And by His gift of faith, we're made to see Him as He is. We're made to see things which are not seen, things that are eternal, the eternal God and His eternal work. Look down at verse 18. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We look at those things because we can now see." All right, the second miracle is the lame walk. We'll turn to Luke 5. Luke chapter 5. Physically, Christ healed the lame. He really did that. Luke chapter 5 will be in verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. He was paraplegic. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and cut a hole in the roof. And they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" He is, isn't he? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he said unto them, "Why reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'?" Which one's easier? It's easier to say. In our minds, it's easier for him to say, "Oh, your sins are forgiven," because we can't see that. Because they'd have blinded spiritually. They only had physical eyes. Verse 24, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins." He says that to the ones watching. Now he's speaking to the man with the palsy. "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house." And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God, didn't he? And they were all amazed, and they all glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." It would be awkward to see, wouldn't it? It would be a strange thing. So physically, the Lord healed that man of his lameness, but spiritually he makes us whole. That was the first thing he did to the man with the palsy. He forgave the sins. He did the most needful thing first. And then to prove a point and to show others, he did it physically. But physically was healed. Spiritually, he makes us whole. We looked in Psalm 51. "As for old, dead, lame heart that's in my flesh is now able to walk with Christ in the Spirit." That's how we're made to walk. Psalm 51. Look in verse 5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity." We're brought to see what our flesh really is, our sin and our iniquity. And the Spirit shatters what we think is our strongest part. That's the strongest part of our body, is our bone. The femur is the strongest bone in our body. That's what we stand on, isn't it? We rely on it. And he comes and he shatters those bones. Why? That we're capable, that we may rejoice, isn't it? Great physician's able to hear our broken, lame spirits, and he's the only one that can. The third miracle in our text is the lepers are cleansed. So physically, Christ heals infirmities. We'll look back in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, 'See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.'" As a side note before I go on, that the Christ fulfilled all of the law. And we always think of the law as the Ten Commandments, but we have the Levitical law, 600 and 47 or a whole bunch, a whole bunch of laws. One of them was if someone was cleansed of leprosy, had to take, I think it was 2 doves to the priest. I just thought of that. But it's Christ was so effectual at accomplishing the law, and we're so one with him that he cured that man. Because why would they have a law? You couldn't cure, leprosy is not a curable disease at the time. There's nothing you could do for it. So why would you have a law of that? You had to fulfill that law. Well, it's an impossible thing to do in the first place. You'd have to have leprosy to do it. And he sent him and said, you go give the offering that Moses commanded. I bet the priests that day were pretty confused when that man showed up because they knew him. And they probably didn't even remember. I bet they had to go look it up. But leprosy is a communicable bacterial disease of the skin. And in those days, there wasn't a treatment for it. And it was severe. And like any other severe disease, it'll overtake the body and it'll lead to death on it. Sin's our inward disease. That's our issue of blood. It's hereditary. If 2 zebras have a baby, it's a zebra. If 2 sinners have a baby, it's a sinner. It's internal. So Christ physically healed that leper, but spiritually, he heals our internal illnesses. We'll turn over to Luke 5. Luke chapter 5, and we'll be in verse 29. And this is right after the master called Levi to follow him. Luke 5:29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered, said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We don't have to be aware that you have a life-threatening illness or disease to have a life-threatening illness or disease, do you? You can have cancer, and you don't know you have cancer until they tell you you do. But once you're made aware of it, normally by the doctor anyway, you know that you have a need of somebody that can cure you. If I found out I had a unique disease and it was life-threatening, I didn't know it until I did know it. And then as soon as I found out I had that knowledge, I would want to find out who could help me. And you see that there's one that's capable. And how wonderful it is that our physician comes to us. He shows us that we have a need. And he shows us he's the one that can heal it completely and wholly. So fourthly, the fourth miracle is the deaf hear. Turn to Mark 7. Physically, Christ made the deaf to hear. Mark 7:32. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And straightway, immediately, his ears were open, and the strings of his tongues were loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Physically, he cured that man, made him talk, made him hear. But spiritually, Christ makes his elect to hear of his worthiness. Isaiah 29:18 says, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. So if the deaf hear the words of the book, what's the word? And the New Testament says Christ is the Word. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That's Christ. The Word is Christ. And when we are given ears to hear, what do we hear? The Word. We hear Him. That's who we hear. We hear what He has finished. You don't need to turn to these. I'm sure you probably know them. But John 10:24 said, and they came, then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, how long dost Thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. They think they want to know who Christ is, and he's there with them. Jesus answered, said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He says, my sheep hear my voice. That's spiritually being able to hear. At a father's voice to a child. We're talking after services. I may have used this last night. I was a little jet-lagged and slap-happy. So if I repeat something, just act like I didn't say it. But we can, after services, I've got four little children. And there'll be a whole bunch of people talking and visiting. And my children come be over here, a couple be over there. And I'll say, hey, load up. And out of all that noise and racket, they didn't hear. I could be talking all day. They don't pay attention. I'll say, load up in the car. And all four of them will stop what they're doing and look. And they'll go get in the car. Why? They're mine. They know my voice. Out of that crowd, they hear me and they do what I say, don't they? They fear me physically when they're little, and now they fear me. They honor me. They're growing up a little bit. Those with a quickened spirit are given eternal life. Those that are His are given by the Father. They were dead, but they're risen up. That's who Christ makes to hear spiritually. The fifth miracle, the dead are raised up. Physically, Christ raised the dead. We read this yesterday, didn't we? Turn back to John 11. We'll read it again. John chapter 11, verse 41. When Christ was brought to where Lazarus was, they'd already laid him, already buried him. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saying unto them, loose him, let him go. Physically, our Master raised Lazarus from the dead. But spiritually, Christ raises us from the dead. He gives us everlasting life. We'll turn over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened, you hath he given life. That's what quickened is. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom ye also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's spiritual deadness. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together in Christ, hath made us alive in Christ. So of these five miracles, Christ physically and spiritually healed the saints. Several times in the New Testament, it's recorded him saying, your sins are forgiven. And then he says aloud, paraphrasing with the Father, I know you hear me always, but I'm going to say this out loud just so everybody else around knows it. So they'll know that I'm doing this. But physically, these miracles would be a wonderful thing to happen to us, wouldn't it? If I had a broken arm and you could come up and Lord healed my broken arm, that'd be nice. That'd be handy, convenient. It would be a miracle, a wonderful thing. And it would be something that what a sane person would consider, it would be something that we would want. But spiritually, that's what we need. Physically, we want to be healed. We want to hear. We want to see. We want to have sight. Spiritually, we need to have sight. We need to hear. So how is it that we can come to that knowledge? Does God leave us alone and you just sit out in a cave somewhere and read and study real hard until you till you find till you're given sight and eyes and spiritually healed? Of course not. It's just the opposite. He accomplishes these acts by sending servants to preach to them and to those that are his, comfort them. I may have told you this last time, but they say that the preaching of the gospel, if the Lord enables man to, it comforts the disturbed and disturbs the comfortable. That's what it does. So we went through five miracles, and a lot of times this is read over quickly. I read over it for years. About 2 years ago, I was reading this passage of Scripture for this certain church, and as I read it, I thought, well, that's a miracle, and that one's a miracle, and that one's a miracle. Well, at the end, the sixth one, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's a miracle. Physically, the good news of the work of Christ accomplished is preached to the poor and needy. And it's true that the followers of Christ were all publicans and fishermen, and many were destitute by world standards. And many nowadays are the same condition. But many people take this verse to mean that we need to go to homeless shelters and preach, and we need to go to impoverished countries and preach, and have basketball programs for them. And we should, not the basketball programs, but we should find those that are physically destitute and physically in need, and be kind to them and tell them who Christ was. However, if humans focus more on who is being preached to instead of who is being preached, we got a problem. We've missed the good news. We're looking inward to what we are doing instead of looking at what Christ has already done. So who are these poor that's spoken of? We'll turn to Luke chapter 4. In chapter 4 and verse 18, when Christ was reading in the temple, he was reading Isaiah 61. Here in Luke 4:18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Semicolon. So that's a complete thought, but there's going to be more with it. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set liberty them that are bruised." Comma. Don't pay attention to the markings there, the verses. "To set liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to recover their sight, to deliver the captives." All those miracles. That's what he was sent to do. Isaiah prophesied that, didn't he? "And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The meek, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, the blind, and the bruised." Those are physical states. But it's revealed to the elect of God that that's our spiritual state, isn't it? We're broken. We're deaf. We're blind. We're unable. So physically, Christ preached, and we to now preach to the poor, but spiritually he preaches to us. How is that accomplished? By preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. The year of Jubilee. Year of forgiveness, isn't it? Through Christ's completed work, he's purchased us. He's cleansed us. And will bring us to him in glory when our final days comes. And when Christ is preached to his sons and daughters, it's a miracle. Because we were blind to his righteousness and he makes us see. We were lame in our ability to come to him, and he heals us and brings us to him. He draws us. We were plagued with disease. We were regenerated. We were deaf to his word being proclaimed, and now we hear his victory. We were dead in our sins, and he's made us alive. And a lot of his glory. And with the sweetness and compassion that only he can have, he makes us to know these things as one of his servants tells us about it. They witness, don't they? They just tell what they know. I know, we were speaking about this the other day, Cass and I were. I know you all don't do this, but I do. There's a lot of times I convince myself, we'll be up Sunday morning getting ready for service, and I'll be worried about my job or something going on with the children, or I'm tired, or there's something going on with me, and I think I ain't gonna be able to listen. I think I can go, but I'm not gonna get anything out of Clay's preaching today. And I think, well, I'll just go so I can be a good example for the children, or I'll go to be an example and encouragement to the brethren, or for Clay, because if Clay, one of these pastors, get up to preach and they don't show up, that'd be disheartening, you know. Isn't that awful? Isn't that horrible of me? And many times I think those things, And I think, well, I'll just show up just in to go through the motions. And boy, the Lord gets a hold of me. He wakes me up and takes my mind off those things and teaches me something. But sometimes the old man in me hardens and I can't concentrate for anything. But other times that I'm convinced I can't hear nothing, the message for me from the Lord is sent to me. It opens my heart. And then the only thing that amazes that is the success of the cross to Christ. Not expecting that going into it, that's what I'm given. And how thankful I am that God the Father looks only at Christ and instead of looking at me. I look at me and I get despair, but I look to Him, I'm encouraged. That's who the Lord looks at. He looks at His works, His faith, His heart, and sees His precious Son. Not just this filthy rag that's standing here. So what should we do? Should we look to our frailty? Or should we look to Christ? Matthew 11:6, the end of our text there, it says, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Christ is speaking that. Not be offended in Christ. Are you offended by the miracles, physically or spiritually? Are you offended by the one who performs them? Are you in need of a miracle? If you find yourself in need of Him who can perform the miracle, that's the most important. If our Master is pleased to feed His people or draw one of His elect who hasn't yet known Him, that's truly a miracle. And as it pleases Him, let us call out to Him to heal us, to provide for us, and to make us acceptable. And then we will be made whole, spiritually too. That physical won't matter as much, will it? I hope that'll be a blessing to you.